Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. The Audition with Del Olale, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's Del and today's teacher's pet, Danny Vera.
The fairy tale story gets better.
I didn't go ahead, did it?
Straight in the hole.
Let's go.
No. No. No way. No way. Rory, did it go in?
That's Michael Block, who was the star of the weekend. He didn't win. Brooks Koepka did, and Brooks Koepka said something pretty funny, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the segment. But Michael Block, hole in one, or as we like to call it in golf terms for us golf people, an ace to close out his weekend. And I don't know much about Michael Block other than the story that's being told about him, but I did check into the PGA because Danny texted me on Friday. I texted him, say, hey, what's up? Been a while. I was going to say, how you doing? But it's like, can you really do that after like a decade? Can you say, hey, how you been? It seems like it's not enough for that type of time period between conversations. But you texted me back about...
Reach out more often, Dale, so you don't have to send an awkward text after 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's who I am. We'll try. We'll see.
Should've signed yearbook.
We'll see how Tuesday goes before we make any commitments. But I texted you, and you mentioned all the things you wanted to discuss. And one of the things was the PGA, and I'm like, oh, now I gotta watch some golf to be informed.
Home, Thursday and Fridays, and then when a major's happening, it's nice. You just have it on in the background in case you need a little nap. You got it on already.
True.
Lay down on the couch.
True.
Wake up.
True. 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 And it helped me take a nap yesterday as I watched Brooks Koepka down the stretch. But Michael Block has the ace. He's the star of the weekend. And the thing that jumped out at me as I was trying to watch golf was, I don't know if they're new innovations because I don't watch, but it seemed new to me. They had the Apex thing. They had the virtual hole marker, that speed. Is that a CBS thing, or does all golf broadcasts do that now?
I think I'm seeing it on all broadcasts.
Okay. Is it a recent thing?
I don't think so. I seem to recall seeing it pretty often.
Yeah, it made actually.
By the way, that hole in one was 118 ball speed.
Yeah, this is
97 foot apex.
This is what I'm saying. How can you live without that information? I appreciate it because
you needed a 97 foot apex on that. It's such a great shot because it landed right in the hole.
Yeah, straight in.
No like long roll or anything. The drama wasn't drawn out. It just literally went from the tee to the hole.
And you heard the shock in his voice. I think Michael Block said later that, I don't know. I didn't know why Rory was hugging me, and
he had no idea because he didn't think he couldn't see that it went in. So he's asking everybody, including Rory, did it go in? He's motioning to the gallery. Did it go in?
Everyone's cheering, but no words are really being spoken. So he doesn't know what's actually going on. And then he finds out he has a hole in one to cap off a wonderful week for him.
He's just a PGA pro. I mean, it was pretty remarkable seeing the run that he went on and for his last round to be paired with Rory McIlroy. That had to be pretty big thrill.
It was good. It was as far as moments in golf, I'll take those when we're talking about things being rare, whether it be the Heat as an 18 making the finals and what Michael Block did over this weekend, that is something I'll pay attention to, but not the shot after shot documentation of golf. It's good if you're working from home, but for Sunday, it's great for a nap. But Brooks Koepka wins, and Bryson DeChambeau talks about how it validates the live golfers and can we please finally come together. It validates everything we said from the beginning, that we're competing at the highest level and we have the ability to win major championships. I really hope people can see the light now that we're trying to provide.
They can see the light, but they can't see the broadcast.
True. I mean, I don't think the question is that you guys aren't great. I think the whole point is you left and no one can see you play anymore. I don't think people were questioning the guys who left in their talent. I think that's an odd place to start. No one thinks you aren't good at what you do. You wouldn't be getting paid guaranteed money if you weren't. It's just that it's very hard to see you play. You make people work hard to see you.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. I found his approach to that this conversation weird. What I did find entertaining was Brooks Koepka, because he was asked about what it meant for LIV Golf to win, for him to win the PGA Championship, and he goes, "Yeah, I guess it's great for them, but this is about me.
Yeah.
I won. I mean, why are we talking about that particular aspect of it when I am a winner?"
I'm sure that was one of the first questions he got about LIV Golf. Well, let's not talk about LIV Golf. This is about me. All right, next question. What about Michael Block? He can't win. Nobody cares about Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, this is the quote.
Fifth major win, third PGA championship, but all the talk is about Michael Block and what this means for LIV Golf, which is doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, if we can't see you, what do we care? The quote, yeah, I definitely think it helps LIV, but I'm more interested in my own self right now, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's a huge thing for LIV, but at the same time, I'm out here competing as an individual at the PGA Championship. I'm just happy to take this home for the third time. I would be Brooks Koepka. If you're asking me about, you know, my new family or whatever you want to call it, my new place of employment, that's great and all, but did you just see what I did?
My apex?
Yeah.
My apex was working.
Ball speed? What are we talking about here? Why are we talking about that tournament? I am out here beating the best in the world. Let's talk about me. I appreciate his approach. It's just not the story people want to talk about, because I think we know all we need to know about Brooks Koepka. He's a really great player, but he's not the headline. It is currently LIV and Michael Block who had a great weekend for him, and I think it's a great story for golf, because I'm actually talking about it because it's very hard for me to even pay attention, but he didn't capture my imagination. That's going too far. But that's way too far. But I did find his story pretty compelling. So I think that's it for the golf segment.
Shout out to PGA.
Yes.
That was it.
Yeah. You guys are good, right? Everyone who expected John to wax poetically about golf, you guys are good with that? Cool.
There wasn't anything to wax poetic about. It was just...
No.
The Sunday was boring.
Yeah.
Koepka was good enough and nobody made a run at him.
Yeah. It was what he... When he was minus seven, it got close. Victor Hovland got close, and then he kind of fell apart, and then Koepka went on to win that thing handily. So Brooks Koepka winning his fifth major title at the PGA Championship. It wasn't the only story of Sunday, particularly locally. Jose Altuve gets his first RBI since being back with the Astros. The Astros went 2-0. Fromber had a great outing as well. The A's stink, but Fromber was great. 9 innings. Shutout baseball, 4 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts as the Astros continue to roll. That's 7 in a row for them, 2 games behind the Rangers in a very long baseball season where they'll likely overtake the Rangers probably by, if not June, July. And as long as they stay healthy, we're looking at the Astros making another playoff run. We'll see how their pitching holds up with the injuries. And some news also, Lance McCullers. Dusty wouldn't call it a setback, but his progress has been pushed back because Lance McCullers has never hurt, so we shouldn't be worried at all about what's coming for him down the wire or down the pike. I mentioned something I wanted to get to, and it's time to, I mean, you guys can call in at any point. I think the number is 713-449-1560. It's not. I don't even remember what the number is anymore. What's the number again?
713-780-3776.
That's the number. I think that's the old number that I gave out. The one for, you know, when we were actually 1560. So long ago, I think. I don't remember. I don't ever give out the numbers. Not what I've ever done. But that's the clue to call in, because we're going to do something I thought of considering an Astro, Jose Abreu, whose expectations could not be any lower for what he has been in the early part of the year. Multi-million dollar deal, 3-year deal, brought in by Jeff Bagwell, and he's been a complete disappointment. So that's the premise of the conversation. Who, what team, what player, what person has caused you to lower your expectations? Call in with those. I'll have one. RJ and Danny hopefully will have one, because mine is local. Mine is a guy who I thought was going to be a star and has been anything but. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We'll do that on the other side. RJ, Dell, Danny, we'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Valley Loafers and the Cartier. What's up? I do my thing any harder way.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the audition with Del Olale and the guy vying to be his sidekick, Danny Vera.
Welcome back to the audition. And this is a segment honoring is probably not a great word to use considering the subject matter. But this is a segment brought to you by Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu is the whipping boy for this Astros season. Despite the recent run of success for the team, he is still not hitting at a level that people expected, certainly not what Jeff Bagwell expected when that signing was made. He'll be the guy that people talk about until he either steps up or, I don't take it out of the lineup, what Dusty doesn't seem prepared to do. So he brought this to my mind. It's called lowered expectations. I mentioned it earlier. If anyone who watched Mad TV like I did, probably will recognize this sounder.
Lowered expectations.
Now, that was a sketch in that show where two people who weren't at the top of, I guess, the dating pyramid got together because, well, you start to tone down your expectations when you failed to find the right one. And it was extreme. It's something you couldn't do now just because of what the people's issues were. It's just not something you could do anymore. That's from the aughts, Mad TV. So it's a different time in comedy, I guess, at least for stuff that gets aired on TV. So we're going to play that sounder. And if you want to call in with your lowered expectation individual, and like I said, it could be a player, a team, a person in your life. If you want to go take it to that level, 713-780-3776. Thanks to RJ for giving me the correct phone number, as I don't reference a number from 10 years ago. So appreciate that from you, RJ. 713-780-3776 if you have a lowered expectation. Mine, I'll start off with, is a guy who won a national championship in the city, not for the University of Houston, because that has never happened, I believe, at least on the basketball level. He's from here, played at a prestigious university, was a top 10 pick. Danny Ainge offered like 4 or 5 first round picks to move up to grab him. By the way, this was the Devin Booker draft, who went like 3 spots below him. I'm talking about Justice Winslow. Justice Winslow was the allegedly next great Duke player. Like I said, he was part of that national title team as a freshman. He was looked at as a big wing who could do it all, could handle a little bit, could defend. And then he turned into a guy who could not be a 3-and-D guy at all. In fact, the Heat tried to turn him into a point guard, and he actually played pretty well at that position. But when the Heat acquired Jimmy Butler, the fit wasn't right. The timeline had moved up for them, and they traded him for veterans, and they made a bubble final run. So the trade worked out for him. Can you tell me where Justice Winslow is now?
I'm guessing China.
No. He is actually still in the NBA. He is still in the NBA, but he's playing with a star. But he's been moved around so many times that I'm not surprised you don't know where he is. He's a Portland Trailblazer.
Huh.
Justice Winslow, Portland Trailblazer, averaged like 7 points.
Closer to China now than he was in Miami.
Very true. If we're talking about geography and as far as his career, the next step would probably be China before it was a rotation player on a good team. If we're talking about trajectory, who knows? He's dealt with mental health issues, so he has talked about that in the past, about how not being able to be what he was expected to be when he was drafted has affected him. And that's not surprising. It affects quite a bit of people. But Justice Winslow, my lowered expectation.
Lowered expectation.
Danny?
Mine would be, I hate to go this route, but she's in school. She can't hear. My 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, wow.
Just because it's the most recent thing. I took her to her first baseball game. And like she's not into sports at all. I've tried to go the softball route. You know, I can maybe do some softball. That's no problem. I played baseball growing up, so softball, yeah, we can get into that. Or basketball or anything, just something. So I took her to the Astros game on Saturday, got there early enough to where she could get her Dippin' Dots and a hot dog and eat. So I thought, all right, be okay. She'll make it. I'm not going to say she's going to make it through 9 innings, but maybe she'll make it through 4. After the first pitch from Hunter Brown in the first inning, literally after the first pitch, oh, Daddy, I'm bored. Can we go home now?
She's not wrong.
One pitch.
It's baseball.
We have good seats. Like the seats are good.
That doesn't matter to her. It's like giving a little kid doesn't care how expensive the birthday is either.
And the Astros had a long first inning. That's when they scored a couple of runs on the board. And so I told her she wanted a hot dog, another hot dog. So, all right, we'll go after this inning. What's an inning? Well, it's whenever the other team has chances to score. What do you mean? Well, they have 3 outs. What's an out? Well, 3 strikes is 1 out, or you can hit it to one of the fielders and they'll get you out. What are you talking about, Dad?
She doesn't understand.
No. I just gave up. Like, I'm definitely lowering my expectations for anything softball-related in my life, which is not that bad the way softball is now and travel teams mm-hmm. and how much trouble I see it is for a lot of other parents. But I've definitely lowered my expectations for a sports relationship with my daughter.
Lowered expectations.
I'm glad you threw in the caveat of sports relationship. Hey, there are levels, and maybe sports isn't going to be the thing you two bond over. It's okay, although it'd be great, I guess. I don't know anything about the raising of children, so I imagine it might be a shot to the heart, but I think there might be other things. And hey, if she doesn't like swimming, that's great because you don't have to show up at those events on the weekend where like there's like a community pool in our neighborhood and Saturday mornings during the summer, I might be out for a walk or just driving by and it's like you have to sit here under that makeshift tent for hours. Like I went on errands and this person is still waiting for their kid to swim, and you know they're little kids, and do they have to swim competitively? At least I get teaching your kid how to swim, but sitting at that pool for 8 hours for competitive swimming, and I put competitive in quotes, they're not going to be Olympians in that pool, in the community pool. A rough go. Soccer, do that. If it feels less cumbersome to just show up at a soccer game and watch your kid running around in a pack with other kids. RJ, you got one? I don't know what that means. I can't see you.
And then we have to break.
Oh, we got to break. Oh, we got to get back on schedule. Apparently, that's
you don't know hand signals. You don't know the phone number.
I can't see. There's that dirty ass glass with the glare. I can't tell what he's doing.
It is pretty dirty.
Yeah, it's not. It's not about RJ. I can
apparently
see.
Danny saw it.
Well, we're at a different angles, and I think the angle and the glare and the light confused me a little bit. But we do, and that bright yellow jersey didn't help either.
I think RJ's lowered expectations for you.
He should. Everyone else has.
Lowered expectations.
There it is. RJ found his lowered expectations, the host of the show he's working on. That's great for me. Coming up next, I don't know. We'll talk about something else. We'll be back.
ESPN. 97.5.
I gave you fair warning, beware.
Welcome back to The Audition with Del Olale. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's Dell and today's teacher's pet, Danny Vera.
I mean, this is what you live for, a perfect homestand. And, you know, like we didn't score a lot of runs, but we scored enough to, you know, to win. And, you know, that's the objective. So now, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll have a same kind of road trip, and you know, we're just happy to have this 6-0 homestand.
Astros manager Dusty Baker, pretty self-explanatory. Perfect homestand for the Astros, 27-19 on the year, 7-game winning streak. Yesterday afternoon, Fromber, great performance. They beat up on a terrible A's team, the A's worst team in baseball. The Astros took advantage of it and they move on as they try to reel in a Rangers team who is annoyingly continuing to win games. But I believe that'll change at some point because they're the Rangers, and they're not supposed to win this division, and they won't. We'll see how the Astros continue to improve. Jose Altuve's back in the lineup, had an RBI in his first RBI after being back for the team. And I'm just looking at the lineup overall. Yordan had the big Saturday night, was it?
Yeah.
Saturday night as he won the game for the
Pretty
team.
Big every night.
Yeah. I should just say he was Yordan once again really good. If you tuned out over the weekend, if you just had other things to do, it was the Astros take the three from the A's. Jeremy Peña had a chance for a home run yesterday, got robbed at the wall, and then had another chance for an RBI on a blooper that the second baseman corralled. So that was pretty much the highlights from this game. I mean, it's the A's. It's a sleepy Sunday. The Astros took advantage, and they continued to move on. And the performance by Fromber will stand out from the weekend as he was as he did something that the Astros hadn't done since 2017, with Dallas Keuchel, 9 innings pitch and a shutout for the Astros in their 2-0 victory.
Astros going to Milwaukee now to see if they can keep the winning streak going and maybe pick up a little bit more ground on the Rangers. Christian Javier tonight against Corbin Burns on the mound for Milwaukee. They're in first place in their division, but their record is not anything special.
And we have a couple of tweets responding to the previous segment. I want to get to those. Like, if you want to call in, please do. I mean, I'd love to hear from you just because.
Dell knows the number now, so call in.
That is the most important thing because I know the number. I want to say it and have a response, 713-780-3776. So call in about that. Rasa, we'll get to you. A couple of tweets, David Whitlock. Not great for John and Lance. I'd call him with lower expectations, but I listen to this show every morning. So, by the way, that's a different show. The Bench is a different show from this show. So, just so you're aware, the branding tells you. Dream Shake, I lower my expectations on flashy quarterbacks because of RG3. Give me a pocket quarterback always. Amen Thompson looks like a beast until I see his free throw percentage and his three-point percentage in this era of NBA. Lower my expectations for guys that can't do both. By the way, missed Mad TV. Does that mean you didn't see it or you miss it? Probably means you didn't see it.
I've lowered my expectations for pretty much everybody in the draft, not projected in the top three. Truly. If I start to read about them, all right, well, this guy's...
Fatal flaw here, fatal flaw there.
Very athletic, but can't shoot.
Which is not encouraging. Some of those things can be fixed with shot selection. Sometimes they're just bad. They just take bad shots. But if their mechanics are off, no one wants another Markelle Fultz. No one wants that from a top five pick. Also, Dustin, I can't read that. What you tweeted, I can't read. Just because. I mean, I don't mind it. I just won't read it. Have to show some discretion as far as that's concerned. But let's get to La Raza about expectations. What's up, La Raza?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Long time no see, buddy.
Oh, am I supposed to respond? What's up, man? Sorry.
What's up, bud? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. What's up, man? I haven't heard from you in a while, mostly because I don't work on the show anymore. But welcome.
Of course, man. You know, I heard that you're going to be filling in, so my expectations were a little bit low for the show. But
understood.
So far, so good.
Thank you.
I mean, Danny could kind of talk a little bit more. I feel like you're overtaking the show a little bit.
But
my lower expectation is just—it's actually two of them. I'm not buying into the whole Texans going over 5.5. I think the Texans are still going to have to work a couple of days here and there, maybe on offense and defense. I like what they did with the draft, but I'm not buying into the Kool-Aid until I actually see it on the field. And my other lower expectation is actually never trust Lazy J. I used to be, yeah, you actually said it too. This guy, he has dumped to the low. He went into hiding after the Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis fight. We bet it. He still hasn't paid me till this day. So if anybody out there knows Lazy J's, just have a lower expectation of him paying you back.
Lowered expectations. The Lazy J La Raza thing is interesting because he doesn't sound like a great friend. It's mostly him always going or coming on the show talking about how La Raza owes him money, didn't show up for an event. They're supposed to go to dinner and he doesn't go. He doesn't show up for whatever reason. Look, I already know Lazy J's trash. I didn't know he was a bad friend, too. I just know he has awful sports takes. I mean, when you're a LeBron fan, not that I dislike LeBron. He played for my team, was great for them. But I don't like people who are fans of players only. And Lazy J is the epitome of that. He roots for Ronaldo as opposed to Juventus or Real Madrid. He'll immediately run out there and go buy a Juventus jersey just because Ronaldo's on the team. If you are having a conversation with me and I ask you and it comes up about who you root for and you go, oh, I don't really root for teams. I root for players. I'm out on you immediately. It means not that you're a bad person, although Lazy J is. It means that we can't have an actual conversation because you follow a player as opposed to a team. And can you be really emotionally invested in just a player?
No.
How is that possible?
No. It's team or bust. Like who?
I don't get it.
I don't understand that either.
It's relatively new. I think it probably started with Michael Jordan. I think he was probably the first guy that people were like, oh, I'm a Bulls fan because of Michael. And now, greatest player of all time, I get it. But if I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan at that time, which was probably a rough moment for you, you're going to go root for the Bulls because Jordan's on the team. It seems like the exact opposite of what a sports fan is, but there are plenty of them out there, and you live your life hell. We got a guy who has garnered that type of love, possibly coming back, James Harden. There are plenty of James Harden fans who followed him around, and now we'll be back to being Rockets fans because he is apparently on the road to being back as a Rocket. Speaking of guys who could be back as Houston players, and now this isn't coming from the team, thankfully. This is coming from the player, Jadeveon Clowney, in speaking with Mark Berman. Talks about his interest in coming back to Houston. He respects D'Amico Ryans. He wouldn't be against a move to return to Houston, which seems like something the Texans should stay far away from, mostly because he is another one of those guys who, I don't know how you set a culture if you're trying to do that with Jadeveon Clowney, and I don't know that he helps you progress at all.
You know they're not going to pay a lot of money for Jadeveon if he wants to come back here. He's going to have to do it on their terms. So the Texans have all the cards. But, I mean, of course Clowney has respect for D'Amico and likes the way the team is going, because how could you not, considering the way the team has performed and the way the team has been in the off seasons past before this year? The Texans are definitely looking up, so why wouldn't he? He needs a job.
He doesn't need a job.
It didn't end well in Cleveland.
He doesn't need a job.
Right. He doesn't need a job.
He wants
a job.
But should that job come here? Like, he's one of those dudes I would call a progress stopper.
It's inconsequential to me. Like, I don't think he's going to do
anything. He's not going to ruin anything. I get your point. But if we're talking about a team trying to find its way and Will Anderson is on the roster, I would like to see Will Anderson and other young players get as many snaps as possible. I understand that he can't take all of them, and I get that Jadeveon is probably a player you can sign is going to be better than anyone else you might sign. I just don't know the upside of it, and that's all I'm looking at if I'm a Texans fan. Who's going to be part of a long-term future? And a street free agent like Jadeveon Clowney seems like that's only a name because he used to play here. Other than that, what is the what would be the purpose? I don't think he's a fan favorite, so
no.
It wouldn't even be that. It would just, you want a body, I get it, but he feels like a guy you sign if you think you're pretty good and you want another rotation piece to strengthen a front line as you try to make a run. And we know the Texans aren't making a run. I mentioned before that it doesn't seem like it's something that the Texans are interested in, and the story goes on to talk about how he said his agent has spoken with the team and that he would be interested in a return engagement, although there's no indication at this point that the feeling is mutual. He's out here shopping, just throwing out his name. Hey, Texans, I'm here. I train here. I live here. I'd love to play here. I love to play here again. And doesn't seem like the Texans are interested so far, but, you know, it's only May. In July, you need a body, and Jadeveon's still hanging out, and the salary demands are low. Who knows? He's a guy who went from, you know, first overall to a one-year per guy. Like, no one's ever going to give him a deal longer than a year. And that is not a sad fate. He's fine. He's just fine. But it's an interesting transition for his career where no one is willing to give that man long-term money. Never got it from a second contract, which is maybe he just demanded too much for what his production was.
You think Jadeveon Clowney knows who Jessica Alba is?
This is in reference to Sauce Gardner, which I thought it was funny that he didn't know. He has to, right? He's 30 plus, right? Sauce is in his early 20s, so I get it that he might have not seen Dark Angel or Honey. I get that he probably doesn't know Dark Angel, shout out.
Or the swimming movies?
Yeah, I get him not seeing, what was it, Blue Crush? No, or was that Kate Bosworth? I can't remember. It might have been Kate Bosworth. But Deep Blue. Which one was she? I don't remember. But I get Jessica Alba not being known as Sauce Gardner. Jadeveon has to know. He is, how old is he? 30, waiting for, he's 30 years old. That's in the range where you know, where you've seen her in a magazine.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, before she became the lifestyle health person that she is now, as opposed to the actress model type.
Did you see his cleats that they made for him?
For Clowney?
Yeah, no, for Sauce Gardner.
No. Does
Jessica Alba cleats, like her on Honey and her in Fantastic Four. Like, they're pretty sweet looking.
Sauce Gardner is a guy who has a reputation far beyond, like he got calls like a guy who was an all pro for 5-6 years. He was grabby, and it didn't matter. It seemed that, look, the Sauce Gardner thing is always going to be something that hangs over the Texans until Stingley plays and plays well, because you had the option to take Sauce Gardner. But I think his reputation is overstated unless he's going to get to hold his entire career. Look, rival fans, because this is what people on Twitter do, like, you didn't lock our guy up. You held him. They're just supercuts of him grabbing guys, holding guys, and not getting called for penalties. I don't fault him for it if he can get away with it. It was just an odd thing to see a rookie get away with all that. But he didn't. He became a really successful rookie, as opposed to the guy who got drafted here before him. Is Dre still on hold? Okay, Dr. Dre, we'll get to you on the other side about your lowered expectation. We'll talk about that and more here on The Audition. Dell, Danny, RJ, we'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The Audition continues on ESPN 97.5. Listen as these guys suck up to Dell for a chance at stardom. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell and today's suck-up, Danny Vera.
Danny's not so much a suck-up, more like a sycophant. But hey, names are... You can call him a name if you want. I don't think suck-up is appropriate. Rightfully so. He's a sycophant. But I appreciate it. The Audition will be here all week. Danny won't. He'll be here tomorrow as well, and then we'll have a couple more guest hosts as the week moves on. But we do have a couple callers. I want to get to Dr. Dre. He has a lowered expectation. What's up, Dr. Dre?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Welcome back to Double D's to radio.
Appreciate it.
I got some lowered expectations, man. I want to talk about a man who hasn't brought a point guard to the Houston Rockets. A man who hasn't had a center play for the Rockets since Clint Capella. I want to talk about a failed lawyer who couldn't pass a bar exam and who is now the Rockets GM, Rosetta Stone. And I'm out.
Lowered expectations.
That is a harsh assessment.
One I agree with. That's a good lowered expectation. Yeah. That's one that definitely lowered mine.
But what did you expect of Rafael Stone? Because it's interesting that Dr. Dre points out all the issues, but what were we expecting from a first-time GM?
I just wanted results on the court. Like, I don't know what, like, move-wise, what he could have done that he didn't do, or what moves were available to him. I know he didn't have a lot of wiggle room, didn't have a lot of roster flexibility early on when he first started. But they've made these moves, and now they have the fourth pick after having the first pick and the second pick. Like, they've had good picks. There's no results in the court.
Understood. This conversation I've listened to in this time slot for a while, talking about what's the Rockets' prognosis, what are they building towards. And it's interesting to listen to people either fight against tanking or all for it, because, you know, I get it, this year Wimby was on the table. And now he's not, clearly, and neither are the other two top guys. And you have to try to sift through the rest to see who you're going to add to this roster. Maybe you're traded. Who knows? But the hope of using those Nets picks to change this roster through through the draft or just being bad and using your own picks, I've always thought, you know, I guess it's great in theory, but there's nothing that says you're not the Kings for 15 years. Like the Kings, despite what they did this year, were bad, really bad, despite the picks, because you're taking Marvin Bagley. You're not taking Luka. These are the things that cripple a franchise where you have guys available and you take the wrong guy. Now, the Pistons took Kate Cunningham because they're number one. The Rockets have never had the number one pick, so they haven't had their first choice. But they took Jalen. We'll see how that plays out. They took Alperen Şengün. We'll see.
Şengün is
early returns offensively are good. The defense has been a problem. I've taken to calling him Enes Şengün because Enes was a great offensive player, didn't really play much defense. We'll see what Ime Udoka can get out of Şengün, or if even he thinks he's the type of player he wants on his roster if he can't play defense going forward. And Jabari Smith is the latest. But I've always...
I was pretty pumped on draft night when Jabari was dropped. Like that was...
Yeah, because we...
That was sweet. Like I was excited.
We thought it was...
And I think it's still good. Like I like Jabari's game and everything. I like his mentality and his attitude more than anything. I think he's just got to figure it out and get stronger on the offensive end. But I think that's something that he can do. The defense is there and the intensity is there. He's taking notes on Victor. Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Missing the Rockets whenever the Rockets were announced as the fourth pick.
Yeah, last week the clip started circulating of Victor Wembanyama looking at the draft lottery, and when the Rockets came up fourth, doing a little pump fake and going, yeah, I'm not going there. And Jabari Smith started taking notes, and he'll see him, four times a year now as Victor will be going to this. Victor Wembanyama will be going to San Antonio Spurs. I just think it is a conversation and an expectation that can lead to long periods of losing when you're just banking on things to go your way in the draft. Hopefully the Rockets took the right guys. And some of it, like I said, was out of their control. Jabari Smith was thought to go first. Turns out Paolo went first, and he was pretty good in Orlando. Orlando appears to have gotten that pick right. Hopefully the Rockets have gotten it right, because you start missing out on draft picks and that can snowball, and all of a sudden you're looking at a long run of hoping the next guy is the right guy. Is Martin still there? All right. Martin has a lowered expectation as well. What's up, Martin?
Hey, what's up, Delvin Diesel?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, I got a couple of lower expectations. One of them is for the Houston Dynamo. I know they'd be doing all right, I guess, this past month. But to all those people saying that they're back, they're not back. They still suck. And after listening to you guys this morning, I'll make sure to lower my expectations for John and Lance next week. So I'll hang up and listen now.
Lowered expectations.
Yeah. That could have gone poorly for us, but I feel like that was more of an insult to John and Lance. So I appreciate it. The Dynamo, I haven't watched a lot of them. I know they had been playing better recently, as he mentioned. But you look at their recent run. They did tie over the weekend in Dallas, or I guess Frisco, against FC Dallas. Lost their last. They lost to Minnesota on the road too, but lost their last home game last Saturday to the Sounders. I haven't watched a lot Dynamo games. I got to be honest. I went to their opener of the new stadium, which is now what? I know the nickname some people called it was the Oven because of how it was colored and the heat in this town. I don't know what it's called now. I went to their opener and it was exciting. People were in the building. It took forever to unveil the banners. that was a hint of things to come as far as what they've been since. New management hasn't really... New branding, new management hasn't really changed the fortunes. But it's a shame, too, because this town was, when they got here, they were really good. And the new stadium was supposed to bring an added level of excitement. And they just haven't matched it, and they've kind of struggled. And it's a town that would embrace them. Look at, the MLS is now going to, 30 teams?
I saw that. Like, the headline was the 30th. How do they have 30 franchises?
It's the U.S. model of sports, where you're going to have your 30-plus teams, just like all the other sports do. But unlike the teams across the leagues across the world where there's relegation, you're just going to be 30 teams. And whether you win or you lose, whether you're good or bad, you're going to remain. And I bring it up mostly in my head because I was watching Man City celebrate their title yesterday. And the English Premier League is one of the most popular league in the world. Great contract here in the U.S. with all their games, whether it be on Peacock or USA and NBC, depending on what you choose to watch. And there are 20 teams on the top level. And the fight to remain on the top level is one of the more – it's one of the more exhilarating things to watch in sports. All these teams that have been around forever, either trying to climb up the ranks or avoid dropping. Like Leicester City won a title in 15 or 16, one of the more improbable titles just because of the money being spent in the league. They were supposed to be a mid-table team. They won a title, and five, six years later, they're on the verge of getting dropped to a second level. It'd be like in comparison, the Cavs winning with LeBron leaving, and then them being a G League team. We don't have that type of drama because the U.S. fan wouldn't allow it, and an owner wouldn't be down for it. They're not gonna pay for that franchise, and then okay, you can drop me down to the G League. So we're gonna have 30 MLS teams. We got feels like a lot, but the sport keeps growing at that level. So I guess credit to the MLS to get 30 of them.
I have not watched any Dynamo in I don't know how long. I don't know if they tried Total Football like they did on Ted Lasso, but it worked for AFC Richmond. Right. I don't know. Maybe they need to go to Total Football. Route.
Maybe to try to improve their fate. We've had on this show, well, not this show, but this time slot, we've had Dynamo people in, multiple presidents, coaches. John used to do a weekly interview with one of the Dynamo coaches. He was Scottish. John could barely understand him. I had to write the questions for him. I remember having to record those interviews, get the questions in, and get John prepped for him at least a little bit. John could handle it himself, but get him prepped for it a little bit. I don't remember that guy's name. I think he lasted a year, and that's kind of been the problem for the Dynamo. No continuity. But thanks, Martin. Dynamo talk. Out of nowhere. Lowered expectations for the Dynamo. Probably apropos. We got one more hour on the audition. Danny, Dell, RJ, 713. I don't remember the number. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to call in with your lowered expectation or anything else, really. We'll talk a little bit more Astros as they sweep the A's. Anything else you want to get to, we'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.